Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land, into your town, into your home, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets, my not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's hoped-for cavalcade of conversation. Welcome to winter, first day of winter, winter solstice. Didn't feel like winter here in the desert, balmy but not wintry, but I hesitate to rub it in too much because I just know a lot of you out there are buried, neck-deep, knee-deep, rooftop-deep in snow and ice and cold, with more probably on the way. You know what my solution to your predicament is. You know it. Do all your Christmas shopping on eBay or Amazon and stay home, hunkered down, nice and warm and toasty, and listening to Coast AM. We've got something special for you tonight. I hope so, anyway. I have never conducted a live interview from the Vatican before, not on radio, not on television, not even on the phone. Tonight, we'll be doing just that. But let me set it up in a proper perspective. You know, on this program, we cast a wide net in seeking answers to really big questions. Why are we here? How do we get here? Are we alone? What happens next? Sometimes the program delves into the big picture stuff using a scientific frame of reference. We look for evidence, proof, reliable testimony, the kinds of evidence that might work in a court of law. Other times we search for truth with a sort of a spiritual framework. We look for what is true inside ourselves, inside our minds, whether we are eternal beings, something other than human, something beyond human. What is true? What is the nature of reality in that worldview? Rarely, however, do we get to delve into these topics, look at them from both scientific and spiritual perspectives. On many topics, of course, it seems like on the surface anyway, that religion and science are kind of at each other's throats, that it's impossible for them to coexist. They can't both be right. Things like intelligent design, the story of Genesis versus the Big Bang theory. I'm sure you may have wondered, as I have, as you stare up at the night sky toward the stars, whether the ultimate truth is somewhere in between, a mixture of both faith and fact, science and religion. Somehow that the two can and do meet on some cosmic plane. And tonight we'll try to find out if that's the case. My guests are both men of science, but they also happen to be men of faith. They are two astronomers with amazing credentials from some of the finest universities in the world. They have honors and awards and for their academic achievements. Both have fine minds, sharp, critical thinkers. So how can two hardcore scientific types also be priests? One is a Jesuit brother, the other a Catholic priest. Both work in the Vatican. At the Vatican Observatory, they are, in effect, the Pope's eyes and ears as the Church looks at and listens to the universe. The title of their book is Would You Baptize an Extraterrestrial? Clever title, and it's a mind-blower, a brain-churner. It really gets the juices flowing and the head pounding. One of the topics they tackle is all the more pertinent given the season. They dig into the biblical story of Jesus, the Star of Bethlehem. Is there an astronomical version of this story that can be reconciled with the tale told in the New Testament? We will find out when we go live to the Vatican 1 hour from now. I'm jazzed about it. I think it's going to be fun and a lot of food for thought just in time for the Christmas holiday. In this hour, I'm going to open up the phone line, see what's on your minds. Haven't had an open lines hour for a while, so I'm looking forward to it. Anything you want to talk about? Maybe your own take on religion versus science, or rather how the two can get along, if that's what you think. Maybe you want to talk about the evidence from Mars announced by NASA this week, finding evidence of methane, possible organic origin. Maybe you still have some leftover questions about Bob Lazar you didn't get asked last month when he was my guest on this program. Whatever you want to discuss, I'm game. But as always, I'm asking you to bring your A game to the program tonight. Good stuff, your best stories, sharpest questions, keenest observations, wildest true adventures or encounters. I'm open to all of it, and I'm opening up the phone lines in just a couple of minutes. A few news items, though, to mention first. The stories out about these police officers in New York, it just breaks your heart, doesn't it? New York Police Department baseball cap surrounded by flowers, teddy bears, and candles is marking the Brooklyn spot where two police officers were killed by a gunman who was targeting law enforcement. The men were killed Saturday, as I'm sure you've heard, as they sat in their patrol car. The gunman killed himself shortly afterward. He had posted online about his intention of killing police officers, and now investigators are trying to determine whether this guy, the killer, really had deep sympathy for the police killing protests, or whether he simply latched onto that cause for a final act of a violent spree. Police say the suspect ambushed the officers after he shot and wounded his girlfriend in Maryland, so obviously he had a lot of trouble, something going on in his life that that caused him to take such a radical step. It's unrelated here, but keeping in line, there was another police shooting. Florida authorities say a police officer was shot and killed in Tarpon Springs early Sunday. Shooting occurred around 3 a.m. in the Tampa Bay area city, and that a suspect had been taken into custody. Apparently, authorities say the police officer responded to a call for service just after 2 a.m. Police said the suspect shot at the officer and then fled the scene in a vehicle. He crashed into a pole and was apprehended by police at that location. Also down there in Florida, kind of a weird story. Officials with Tampa Fire and Rescue say seven people were taken to the hospital with injuries after a lightning strike in a parking lot near the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium. The official said that lightning struck, it kicked up a bunch of rocks and gravel, knocked a couple of people down, although it didn't hit any people directly. It struck shortly after 4 p.m. The Bucs, by the way, got cleaned by Green Bay 20-3. I don't know if these people were upset about that or what. Also in the news, there's a story making the rounds about a supernova, a dying star that's about to explode, implode, and bathe us in killer radiation. Don't let it ruin your holiday plans, though. Much ado about nothing. Well, it's not exactly nothing, but greatly exaggerated. We have the story posted on the Coast to Coast website. It's one of the items under NAPS News, collected and collated by webmaster Lex and I. Items of interest culled from recent news reports. Also there, an interesting story about a village in Kazakhstan where one-tenth of the population had a bad case of the sleepies. I don't know what you'd call it. It's like narcolepsy. People keep nodding out in broad daylight. They're walking around, they're driving around, and boom, they're down. It's as if, you know, like they're listening to one of those nitwit reality TV shows and it puts them to sleep. It's weird. Also, just when you think the government isn't quite spying on us enough that they really need to look into every last nook and cranny about us, as if they aren't doing that already, a new super blimp has been launched on the East Coast, a surveillance blimp. But, you know, don't worry your pretty little heads, they tell us. Nothing to see here. Move along, folks. We have the story for you if you want to check it out, along with an update to a report about a court challenge to the NSA. As you know, the government scans and examines every email you send, listens to every cell phone call you make, checks out every website you visit, stashes it on some NSA computer somewhere. Someone had the nerve to challenge the NSA in court, challenge the legality, the constitutionality of this massive ongoing surveillance program. You know where my sympathies lie on this. A report about that lurking court battle under NAPS News. Also, there's another story or two, a pretty cool item that Lex found about a paranormal Christmas tree that's all decorated out in weird stuff. Lots of fun, interesting information on the website. Take a look when you get a chance. I should also say that Lex has something else there he wants you to take a look at. The Coast Insiders Club. Great idea for a Christmas gift for a loved one or for yourself, for that matter. Access to a huge library of our previous shows. It means you could listen to this program anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. Though we do, of course, like you to check us out live whenever you can and in real time. If you get a chance, maybe you could check out this posting about a guest we have coming up on a Coast Insider Chat Monday night, 8 p.m. I think it's Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. The guest is investigative mythologist William Henry. What a great work title that is, investigative mythologist. I might have to steal that. All right, time to take our break and then get right to it. And you know what that means. Time for you to bring in the dog, pour the kitty a bowl of milk, throw a log on the fire, pour a big cup of Joe for yourself, and slip into those jammies, the new pair. You know, they still feel soft and fuzzy. Then turn up the radio And let's get to your phone calls. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the program. I'm George Knapp. I'm never quite sure how many people are listening on Sunday nights. I know it is Sundays, it's the end of a long weekend. You watch football all day. Maybe you nod out. You don't stay up and you listen to the program later. But I am told that the phones are ringing. So a lot of you folks are calling in, and we're going to get to as many of your calls as we can, see what's on your mind. First-time caller, Chad in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Chad. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, George. First off, I just want to say it's an honor and a privilege to be talking with you. It's I'm a first-time caller, so it's exciting.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to talk to you. I live, like I said, here in Mesa, Arizona, and I've actually give you a little short brief on my background. I'm a former Marine, and I'm also an A&P mechanic, and I kind of have a knowledge of airplanes and aircraft. And twice now, two separate incidents flying overhead, I've seen drones actually flying. Low altitude, I'd say, with seemed to be pretty close to the ground, within a couple hundred feet, flying both times at night. And that wasn't necessarily the weirdest thing about it, but what was absolutely weird was that there was no sound. It was, like, completely still. Like, if it was operated by a propeller, it was, I would assume it would have been close enough for me to hear, but it was completely silent as it flew overhead. And now it's both been twice, and it's happened at night.
How far away are they from you? Can you judge that, or you can't take? Can you tell how big they are? These kind of things.
Yeah, it was, I mean, okay, so standing out front, I looked up in the sky as it flew directly over the house. It was at such a low altitude that once it flew basically behind the house across the street, it basically disappeared. So it was at a pretty low altitude. And I'd have to say it's probably about a 15-foot wingspan, you know.
Oh, 15 foot. That's not just a little hobby kit then, is it?
No, absolutely at all. And that's what made me think that what was the motive how it was actually moving, because, like I said, it was completely silent.
Is this, did you say daylight or nighttime?
Nighttime, actually. Middle of the night, both times.
Is there a military facility near where you are?
There's Boeing, actually. But actually, I've been in contact with a few people that work at Boeing, and they either won't admit to or cop to it, but there is no drone making for that. They make the Apaches there at that Boeing facility. And as far as I know, there's no drones coming out of that place. And I couldn't see exactly where it went beyond that. Like I said, once it went behind the house, it disappeared. But both times, both incidents of seeing them, they were actually at a low flying altitude. But like I said, both times completely silent. And that was really eerie.
Are there any lights on this thing? Any kind of
there
lights?
Was. Yeah, there was. On the first one that I've seen, there was a green, typical green-red navigation lights going on, but they were on the back, on like the tail cone section of the aircraft, and it was just really weird, though. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Chad, my favorite non-existent military base, of course, Area 51, the stories we hear from them is they're testing some really advanced drones, everything from really big ones to tiny ones about the size of insects, really advanced stuff. So I'm always very interested in hearing about drones. We got a lot of military, ex-military, and aviation folks, pilots, who listen to the program. So maybe somebody out there has an idea about what Chad might be seeing. If you do, maybe call in and or send us an email, and I'll share the information with you. Chad, good to have you part of the program. I hope you'll listen in and call in again.
Thank you so much, George. And I just want to say out to all the servicemen out there fighting the good cause, I just want to say Semper Fi to all the Marines out there.
Semper Fi indeed. Thanks, Chad. We're going to go west of the Rockies, Kerry in California. Hi, Kerry.
Hi, George. It's nice to talk to you, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Same to you. What's on your mind?
The subject that I haven't heard for a while, the black-eyed children. They seem to have gone off the radar on the show here, and I just have a question about, or actually a thought about what they, who and what they might be. I believe they're hybrids that are getting introduced into our population, and like as a test to see if we can handle, you know, the meeting of another species. And I haven't heard anything talked about for a while on these beings, and so I just wanted to call and make just a comment about them, and wondered if anything has been heard recently.
I'll tell you, I haven't done a show on those. I've never dug into it. I know about what you know, Kerry, as I've heard occasional interviews about it on this program. There's a couple of articles I've read, and I think it's a lot of sort of generic stories about non-specific kind of encounters. People get glimpses of them, but I haven't heard a whole lot of what I would consider solid. I put the Black Eyed Children kind of in my gray basket because I just haven't had the time to do the work myself or interview any of the witnesses. So it's a big question mark for me. I like with everything else that we explore on this program, I try to keep an open mind about it, but I'm not the guy to ask. I'm sorry. Maybe some of our other listeners, have you had an encounter with the Black Eyed Children, these entities that have been reported all over the world, call us and let us know about it. Carrie, sorry I couldn't be more help to you. We're going to the wild card line. Ken is calling in, I think, from Minnesota. Hi, Ken.
Hello. I actually saw an angel, and it was illuminate. And what happened was when my pineal gland opened, I seen it. And how this occurred, if you look up the word rapture, it's in the dictionary, not what the religious people teach, it says through extreme emotion, you brought to divine things. This is the definition in the dictionary. And that's what occurred.
Up here a second. Your pineal gland opened? How did that, what happened there?
Well, when it opened, Christ came up.
I mean, it opened how? You got somebody hit it with a rock or what?
I can tell you how any of your audience can open their pineal gland. I can tell you right now and within 30 seconds.
Okay.
You try to keep God's law, the Ten Commandments, as though your life depends on it. And when you fail, you ask for forgiveness. You, on the seventh time you fail, it's like labor pain each time, like a woman giving birth. It's described in John chapter 16, verses 19 through 24. And in 24, Christ says, you can ask my Father for anything, and he'll give it to you. So if a person's sick or crippled or blind, they can be healed. And that's how it works. And I have nothing to gain in saying this. Dang it, I'm not selling nothing to nobody.
All right, so when this happened, you saw an angel. What did it look like?
It was Christ. He was illuminate.
And did you have a conversation?
A person, and basically made him not clear, but like what's opaque. And you illuminated white light from inside. That's what it was.
Let me ask you this, Ken. Could this have been sort of a wishful thinking thing? You sound like a spiritual guy, a religious guy. You wanted to see this, and you ended up seeing it. So is it kind of something that you willed to happen, or it's an illusion based on something you wanted to see?
No. Whenever you read what you have to go through, the agony of it, no one wills that unless your life is just so miserable. And mine was. I'll be honest. I had thoughts of suicide, you know, but I knew this. I wasn't going to kill myself and end up in a worse place than I already was in. So I wanted to find out there was a God, and I found out there is. And it's also called the beatific vision. There's all kinds of names for it, but it's the same event. It's called vivification also.
How's it changed your life? What's happened since?
One more time?
How has it changed your life? What has happened to you since that?
I have peace and joy all the time. I'm never lonely. I haven't been depressed one second since. That was 17 years ago. I just simply can't. God gave me a brain and common sense. That told me those two things. Okay? If God was true, every word that book had to be true, that he spoke. Not what man put, but what he spoke. Christ. Okay, so common sense told me that much. So I've seen if I could disprove it, and I couldn't. So
well, I'm happy for you. I guess, you know, it's hard for, since there's no other witnesses, right? Is anybody else around that saw it? Or just you?
It's in your pineal gland.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, we try to deal with things that can be confirmed in a sense. I mean, you know, this, I'm sure it was a real experience to you. We're just trying to figure out how do we categorize this as a vision, or was it imaginary, or what? I tell you what, we're out of time anyway. That music tells us we need to go to the break. Ken, I appreciate you calling, and thanks for sharing that story. We'll get back to more of your questions and calls right after this on Coast to Coast. It Don't Come Easy, a number one hit back in 1971 for Ringo Starr. I don't know if you remember, but after the Beatles broke up, Ringo had more hits than any of those other guys. He had a whole string of them there in the early 70s. Congratulations to Ringo on being inducted as an individual into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, announced a couple of days ago. And apparently the story is that his bandmate, his ex-bandmate, a guy named Paul McCartney, will be doing the honors and giving the speech to induct Ringo when that happens. You heard the song going into the break, Moody Blues, I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band. Moody Blues still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is flat out ridiculous. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to go live to the Vatican to talk to the Pope's astronomers. In between now and then, I'll be taking calls from Dan, Ryan, Tim, Bill, and Teresa, and any more we can get to. Stay with us. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, back to the phone. See what's on your mind. Dan, Wildcard Line, calling in from New York. Dan, welcome to the show.
Yes, George, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of stuck here in a hard place because I've known about this since 2013 in January. I've actually discovered by looking and examining the NASA footage, photographs, that there actually is liquid water presently on Mars by the Spirit Rover, or Rover Spirit. Because if you zoom in, and nobody seems to zoom in, but you could actually see ripples that's in the water indicating that wind is hitting the surface of it. And also, it seems to show that the landscape is higher than the water itself. Now, I found it on, and I may need your people, the help there, but it's from by Andrew D. Basiego. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yes.
And it says the discovery of life on Mars. Now, that's in the same area where that alleged creature is, but about that some other time. But the thing is, if you zoom in, if you look at it, it shows a hill. At first, I thought it was a mountain, and I guess it looks more like a hill. And at first, I thought it was a lake. It looks more like a pond. The water is actually aquamarine, kind of resembling the water in Florida, if you will. But anyway, to me, I don't know what excuse NASA would give to dismissing it.
Well, I can think of one thing they'd say, is that any water that's on Mars would be frozen. It's cold.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be frozen?
But wait a minute now. There's ripples. It actually shows ripples. Water that's frozen will not have ripples.
Well, also, I mean, but we know what the temperature of Mars is. It's pretty darn cold.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they're telling you the truth about that, right? I don't buy into it.
I take everything that NASA says with a grain of salt. I'm right there with you on that. But I think temperature of Mars is probably something that we can independently verify with independent astronomers. So we'll have to take NASA's word for that one.
Well, except for the fact that there's been also mainstream scientists have admitted that at some times during the year on NASA, I believe I remember reading, it gets up to 80 degrees.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'll take your word for it, Dan. I know that that for a long time astronomers would look at changes that happened on the Martian surface, and it looked like they had seasons there. As for liquid water, I'm not sure. I wish you'd send me the photos. I'd take a look at them. I certainly try to keep an open mind on this stuff. So I have heard Andrew Basiago's name before, and he's told some pretty incredible stories over the years. I think he's been a guest on the program, but I haven't seen these photos. So if you can send them to us, send them to Lex, the webmaster there at Coast to Coast, we'll take a look. And I thank you for calling in. Going to go to Ryan, who's in L.A., which is definitely west of the Rockies last time I checked, but he's calling in on the east of the Rockies line. Ryan, how you doing?
Sorry about that. I kind of messed up on the phone line.
you just pulled a fast one on us, didn't you? Anyway, yeah, we're glad to have you on the show.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Yeah, What's on your mind?
I've just been listening for a year now, and one thing that the paranormal happened. Have you ever heard of those like Lego toy thing, like Lego? Have you heard Legos before?
Yeah, I know what they are. Yeah.
One time when I think it was like one of my siblings was made one of them, and then they just left it there, and then it was a night, and then like it was when they left it, it was fine. They were destroyed.
Who else lives in the house?
No, but everybody else was in the house, but I didn't know there was nothing happening. Was like, I didn't hear any noises or didn't hear crashing noises or anything like that.
What did they made a structure of some sort or a figure or what was destroyed exactly? Describe it.
Yeah, that's how I describe it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what was it that they made that was destroyed?
It was, I don't know what it was made. It was made out of, it was like made with Lego bricks. That's what I know for sure.
Okay, something was made with Lego bricks, and when you got up in the morning, it was all taken apart?
Yeah. It was all messed up. It was like everywhere.
And was there anybody hear any noises, see any figures?
No. Okay. No, that's what I say. No.
So couldn't it just been somebody got up in the middle of the night, slept, sleepwalking,
no,
and took it apart?
Nobody sleeping in that room. Nobody even used that room that night.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't know what to tell you about that. I'm open to suggestions. What do you think it was?
Anyway, but it's really weird. And
okay.
Another thing too, before I go, but you know how he says and they say he's spying, they should the NSA should give us privacy.
Well, I'm with you on that, Ryan. I am very much with you on that. It's ridiculous how much how far this surveillance program has gone, how much data they're stashing away in government computers, and it can't be legal. Not even in this day and age can it be legal. Anyway, thank you for calling. We're going to go to the first time caller, Tim, in South Lake Tahoe. Beautiful place, Tim. How you doing?
Hi, George. Hey, great. Yeah, actually not a first time caller, but hey, maybe I hit the wrong number. Hey,
there's a lot of that going around.
So what I'm calling in, George, is up here. We've got lights in the sky like crazy. And myself, I haven't witnessed too much, but friends after friends after friends, we got triangles, we got green globes, pretty regular basis right here in South Lake Tahoe. And I'd gotten through before and talked to George, forgot his name, sorry.
Nori, George Nori.
Forgive me. And, I get pretty excited, because this is, your show is straight up stuff I'm very interested in. A lot of experiences with different things. But anyways, we have so much stuff happen up here in South Lake Tahoe. And I confirm and I check with my friends and, everything from triangles to orbs to just a lot of stuff up here. And in fact, when I got through, our radio station all of a sudden didn't want to come in anymore at night, only when Coast to Coast came on.
Well, that happens from time to time. I'm not surprised. So let's go back to describing some of these things. You said everybody's seeing them. Has anybody got them on video or take photos?
Don't have anything on video or photos. I've heard of the one he described, it looked almost like he said the Space Needle. That was probably a couple of months ago. He said, the way the Space Needle looks. I've heard of one was a saucer. One was a green orb, and that was with a friend of mine, and there was two other people. And coincidentally, it's near a substation, and my friend witnessed the actual orb where the other two people, they just heard the sound and saw the flash. And it's like something's really real deal here, and there's even a little bit more to the story, which is a little bit out there, which is...
Well, let's hear it. Don't tease us. What's the little bit out there part?
Okay, here's a little bit out there. So there's a spot I like to go hike. I take my dog for a walk, this beautiful place up here. And this last year, I was sitting up there in this spot, and I'm looking at this big rock, and I'm kind of noticing this hole in the side of the rock, and I'm going, well, it's a little bit odd, It doesn't seem like a natural thing the way the rock has a hole in it. I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it. I'm just knowing this isn't a natural thing. And I looked, and then all of a sudden I seen the face. And I mean, clear as day, eyes, nose, chin. And my first impression was it looks like a Native American woman, 100 years old, except for the eyes, kind of a big eye. And, very strong resemblance to the Grays, very strong. And I've had friends, and I've shown it to them, and once I say it, they can see it. And it's a real thing. I mean, I have no idea what it is. I talk to people, I'll talk to people on the street and say, have you seen anything, and this, and I've really been questioning it a lot. This one guy I met, he turned me on to Charles Missler. Have you heard of that name?
No, I'm sorry, I have not.
He's pretty big in the government. He's also, probably like a doctor in religion. And he talks about the Nephilim. which is, you know, the fallen angels that bred with the daughters of men. And
right.
He showed me the website and saying, you know, hey, look, this is part of this deception. And all I know is that there's something right here in South Lake Tahoe. Don't know if it's good or bad. Don't know if it's maybe it's a Native American thing, but it's a real deal up here. And, you know, if I did computers, I'm very leery of computers just because it's not so much me. It's, you know, they come after your friends or family. So you always got to be careful what you do in the world. And, but it's just a real deal here in South Lake Tahoe. I mean, so I that's all I know, but it's a real face. I've shown it to people and they can see it. And if you were to walk up, you'd just go, hey, that's just a rock. But, you know, I'm a little bit different than most people, I guess, because I try to stay more in tune to listening to inside rather than being. So I'm sorry to be going on and on.
Oh, that's okay. Tim, I appreciate you calling. I hope if there's anybody else out there from South Lake Tahoe is seeing this stuff, they'll let us know. And hope, Tim, from now on, carry your camera with you. And you see one of the green globe is what interests me the most. That sounds pretty intriguing. I don't get those kind of reports very often. So anybody get a photo or video of those, we'd sure like to see it. Tim, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And now we're going to the wild card line, Bill in Tucson. Hi, Bill. Calling for Bill on the wild card line. Hello? Bill's gone. How about we try Teresa? JR in Arkansas. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Love the show. I was calling in response to, I believe it's two or three callers back about the liquid or water on Mars.
Yes.
Seems like I remember in science class different elements have different freezing points. So, I mean, like liquid nitrogen, I mean, it may not be water, but I mean, we can't dispute, I mean, deny the fact that there could possibly be liquids on Mars.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Yeah, you're right. Do you have you seen the photos that the caller was talking about?
No, sir. I was just throwing in there on the science part about the different temperatures for freezing points and liquids and solids. That's all I was saying, sir.
All right. JR, thank you for calling. If anybody else has any idea or info about the liquid on Mars, give me a call or send me a note, and I appreciate it. We're going to go try Bill in Tucson again. Bill, are you there on the wild card line?
Yes, I am. How are you, sir?
Hi, how's it going? What's on your mind?
I'm fine, sir. Calling in regards to the fellow that called about the drone in Arizona.
Sure.
And being quiet and silent. That, for the most part, are drones used by the Department of Homeland Security Border Patrol, which have been assigned the Air Force to fly these units. And they are pretty much without sound. They have sound suppressors. It is a jet. And it is a version of the Predator. It's called the Predator AH. And they're specially designed to use, they are not armed. They use chemical, biological, and radiological and nuclear detection systems, as well as it has cameras that can bring in illegal people coming into the United States illegally or drugs being transported across the border. It runs 1,160 miles of Arizona territory.
No, so I'm trying to think. I know you're in Tucson. Where is Mesa? Is that down there on the border?
No, that's north of us.
That was where the caller had called from.
They fly north because they train out of Fort Huachuca for the Tampa base where all of our pilots are trained here in Fort Huachuca for a particular drone that's for radiological and chemical detection. All the drones that are flown over in the Middle East, for the most part,
yes,
are all manned out of Tampa.
Yeah, I know. We had a lot of the earlier ones that were flew were piloted by folks at Creech here in Southern Nevada.
Yeah,
were flying them in Afghanistan, and you know they'd go home for lunch and blow up some bad guys in the morning. Bill, I appreciate you calling. That's good info. So we solved at least part of the mystery. At least it sounds like it. Thank you.
It's about that equipment.
Hey, there's a lot of interesting stuff goes on at Fort Huachuca. Keep your eyes to the sky down there.
But nothing secret.
Oh yeah, nothing secret.
You can call our information officers anytime during the day and night.
Oh, yeah? Is that right? Nothing secret?
No. There's nothing kept secret that flies out of Fort Huachuca.
I see. Yeah.
All right. All that stuff's designated for Border Patrol and or training. Now, of course, there are other departments down there that train people from other countries and whatnot, but I don't think if you have anyone call the information officer anytime, night or day, if they see anything in the sky near the border.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you calling in. Good info. I think we had Teresa in Washington on a wildcard line. Is Teresa still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. How you doing?
I'm great. Hey, I actually called to talk about Fukushima and the radiation. I don't know if you read, but, you know, I just read about how the radiation readings across the country have just skyrocketed. You know, but they're still denying that it's coming from Fukushima. And, you know, where else could it be coming from? I mean, I'm actually from Tucson, and the radiation readings there in Tucson were off the charts. I mean, pretty much from all the way to the Midwest to the West Coast. I mean, they're just, and nobody's talking about this. And it's really scary. I mean, it was 100 times higher than what the normal background should be. And I just, it seems like it's the biggest story. This is the biggest man-made disaster in history. And nobody's talking about it.
I agree with you, Teresa. It's an amazing, failure of responsibility on the part of mainstream media. And I can see you have problems getting to Fukushima and getting access to the site or getting information out of Japanese officials or nuclear power executives, but if radiation levels are pegging here, you should be able to find out that information and report on it. I've seen conservative estimates of the amount of radiation that it is up. It's just not to a point where it's all that dangerous yet, but who knows who's telling the truth on that stuff.
Drudge Report just ran a story about it this week, and I don't know how much you stay up on Drudge, but that's changed. I mean, it's actually now to the point where it's at dangerous levels, but officials are still denying that it's from Fukushima, and it's across the whole country. Where else could it be from? And I just, you know, I don't know if the government just feels like they just throw their hands up, like, we can't do anything about it, so why admit, you know, there's anything going on? But it's really disturbing. You know, as a parent, you not just let your kids outside to play, and it's scary.
Well, I'd be interested in who the source of the story was for Drudge. I mean, because he's not doing the report. Drudge isn't out reporting it himself. He posts stuff that he gets on from other places. So you have a varying degrees of credibility in the things that get posted there. So it would depend on who did the reporting regarding the radiation levels. But I'd be interested in seeing that. If you find it, send it to me.
Yeah, I definitely will. And I can't wait for your show, the rest of your show. This evening, I've made up my mind that I'm sort of I'm an ancient alien theorist, and that's pretty much what I believe now. I think that religion is an explanation for things that people saw that were, you know, extraterrestrial, and they couldn't explain it. And to me, that's the most satisfying.
I'm there with you. I mean, I'm interested in that stuff as well. And we're going to hear from two guys who are going to be able to shed some light on a lot of the questions that occur to you and to me and to other listeners. Teresa, thank you for calling in. Speaking of clergymen, this is the Reverend Al Green. Take me to the river. Wait a second. Is it Reverend Al coming up? I think it is. Take him to the river, and that ushers us into our next segment of the program with by guest Brother Guy Consolmagno and Father Paul Mueller from the Vatican Observatory coming up in just a minute. Stay with us.